Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
What about this for a scripture text to reflect on, dear friends, as we get into this new year ahead of us, 2016? I'm talking about what Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh, how much is spoiled in our Christian life and witness because of unwarranted and repeated murmurings and disputings on your part and mine. Is this perhaps also a problem in your life, that it is filled with murmurings and disputings all too often still? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, says Paul, in Jesus' name. Will you pay attention now as we listen to this message on Philippians 2:14, having as our theme, no murmurings and disputings now. Do you hear? There are three main points we will think about under this theme. First, isn't this a searching text, convicting us of so much sin? Second, isn't this such a Savior-honoring text, showing us our constant need of Him? And third, isn't this such a sanctification-growing text, helping us more and more to be like Jesus? With our first point about this verse being such a searching text, leveling us all as miserable sinners indeed in ourselves, I hardly need to expand on this, do I? The word murmurings can also be translated as grumbling and or complaining. How much grumbling and complaining are you guilty of in your life, at home, at school, at work, and in church? And disputings refers here to questionings and back-talking on God and His ways and word and will. Disputings refers to criticisms directed negatively toward God for His ways and His providences in our lives. One English version of the Bible translates Philippians 2 verse 14 this way, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, yes, before God and others. A paraphrase version puts it this way, do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering and no second guessing allowed. One Bible commentator translates this verse as Paul saying, quote, practice doing all things without mutterings and argumentations. Oh, murmurings and disputings, always it is sin, showing distrust in God and ingratitude and ignorance before Him and towards others. What further makes this exhortation of Paul in our text so convicting is that it begins with saying, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Without exception allowed, in other words. Regardless what we may meet with in life, personally, and at home, and at church, and in our daily responsibilities and relationships through our lives, we are not to falter and fail in the way of murmurings and grumblings and disputings and questioning God's ways and God's will in our lives. It is clear when Paul writes this, he is thinking also about the Israelites of old. Their history, as told in the Old Testament, is filled with constant grumblings and murmurings and disputings with God and their neighbors. Just for one example of this, we read in Exodus 16, verse 2 and 7 to 8, about the Israelites complaining bitterly when in the wilderness journey. They murmured and complained against Moses and God because of not having water, bread, and meat as they wished for. So verse 2 of Exodus 16 reads, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. You see, murmurings and grumblings against God and questioning His ways with them, the Israelites, was a constant problem with the covenant people of old. They complained in Egypt, and they complained in the wilderness, and they complained in the land of Canaan. They were like chronic grumblers, always discontent and complaining before God and their neighbors, and it was so unwholesome, so God-dishonoring, so ungrateful and distrusting and unsanctified on their part. Murmuring and complaining and endless disputings before God and with others is like a poison that doesn't only spoil so much, but in the end can destroy us altogether. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, Paul also so warns the believers in Corinth. He writes there saying, "Neither murmur ye as some of them," in the Old Testament camp of Israel, he means, "also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Paul goes on to say in verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples or as lessons for us, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So, dear friends, will you take this word to heart then? Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Notice the text doesn't say do some things without murmurings and disputings, or most things, but all things. That is God's holy word and will for our lives, especially as confessing Christians. In the book of Jude, verse 15 and 16, it is stated as a mark of the ungodly, quote, "These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts." But so it should not be with God's people. Oh, with me, do you find this so convicting too? You and I sin grievously, even as confessing Christians, when we time and again grumble and complain before God and each other, and when we question God's leadings and precepts and providences in and for our lives. How much have you complained and murmured this new year already, I wonder? God knows. In connection with your circumstances, your relationships, your responsibilities, your resources or lack thereof, your country, etc., etc. Already in the first 10 days of 2016, how much have you and I been guilty of grumbling and muttering about this and that, and about so-and-so, and so-and-so, and him and her, and repeated disputings before God and one another? Oh, let no one get their back up in protest now to this word. But shall we not rather each repent of our sin before God and each other, and the watching world in this matter? None of us is always living by Philippians 2:14 as we might and should. And in fact, all too often still, who of us isn't living in sinful contradiction to this word? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Doesn't this verse, if you are honest too, give so much reason for repentance of sin, also on your part as well as mine? Shall we have a moment of prayer, pleading God's forgiveness of this sin of so much self-centered and ungrateful and arrogant, unbecoming grumblings and murmurings and mutterings and disputings in our thoughts, words, and deeds before God and each other? O Lord, forgive us our sins and sinfulness before you and our neighbor, just in regards to Philippians 2, verse 14. Help us each to be truly sorry for our sins of murmurings and disputings, grumbling and complaining, questionings before you and our neighbor. And don't only forgive us, we pray, but change and renew us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you identify with this prayer, dear friends? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. The context of this verse, Philippians 2:14, brings out all the more the sinfulness and wrongness of any murmurings and disputings on our part. In verse 12 and following, Paul speaks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The meaning of this is that we are by the grace and Spirit of God to pursue after the life of sanctification before God and others, and increasingly so. And the grand purpose is, as Paul says in verse 15, that we may be bright gospel lights in this perverse dark world around us. We are to follow after godliness and holiness of life, that we might be blameless and harmless, or sincere and genuine, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, says Paul to the Christians in Philippi. But now notice what is between working out our sanctification and being the lights we are called to be, namely, this matter, you see, of doing all things without murmurings and disputings. The fact is, any and all murmurings and disputings, grumblings and untrusting questionings, so much clouds and spoils a vibrant and attractive Christian witness and testimony from us, individually and corporately. As one study Bible note expressed, quote, few things disrupt unity and discourage like-mindedness than does griping and arguments or disputings before God and between others. A body of believers at odds with each other brings accusations and charges from a watching world. End of quote. And how true this is, not to mention also how it dims and snuffs out the spark and zeal for the Christian gospel and kingdom of God in our lives. Negativism and grumbling and complainings seldom serves in promotion of the gospel. Rather, it prevents any attraction to the gospel at all. And the point now is, you see, with verse 14 being placed between working out your own salvation and pursuing sanctification, as we are called to do, for to be the lights in this world that we are called to be as Christians, Paul here highlights this very matter of grumbling and complaining is that which so often, in fact, spoils our witness and hinders our Christian testimony and zeal for the Lord. One commentator nails it on the head when he writes in his commentary on Philippians, quote, why was this such unacceptable behavior, having a murmuring and disputing attitude and mindset? Because it was deep ingratitude in the face of the saving grace and continuing activity of God. A complaining or arguing spirit is an expression of ingratitude to God's providence and of lovelessness and pride towards others. It is a denial of grace. It is working against salvation rather than working salvation out into every aspect of our lives. Murmuring and argument are ugly monsters. They are no-nos in the Christian life. Parents feel very responsible to make sure their children realize there are no-nos in life. What about our own lives as children of the living God? So writes this person. And I ask, are you gripped with me then how searching and convicting of sin really Philippians 2 verse 14 is when we take it to heart? We have too high view of ourselves whenever we murmur and dispute before God and others, and far too low views of the evil of our sins and sinfulness by nature. If you know in your heart how as a sinner of yourself you are undeserving of the least blessing in any way, shouldn't that help in not falling into a murmuring and disputing mindset? I mean, if God would deal with us as we really deserve, who then can stand? Are we not guilty to far too low views of God and His holiness and goodness and love and wisdom and care and mercy for His people as well, whenever we fall into murmurings and disputings before God and each other? I mean, does God ever not know what He's doing? And is there any more loving being than the triune God is for His people in all their needs and ways, whatever our course in life may be? Oh, it is so important to be deeply convicted about this all. Has God by His Spirit worked true and real conviction of sin for you too with today's Banner of Truth radio message so far? Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Oh, if there ever is a verse that should humble us and draw us to Jesus, the only Savior of sinners, isn't Philippians 2 verse 14 one of those texts? And speaking, yes, of Jesus Christ, the Savior now, that brings us to our second point. For this verse surely brings out the beauty and wonder of Christ Jesus in all His person and saving work on behalf of sinners. For let me ask you now, did Jesus ever murmur and dispute with God and others in all His time here on earth? That is, did He ever once in His thoughts even, or in His words and deeds, have and reflect a grumbling, questioning spirit and mindset before God and those around Him? The answer to that question is no, never at all. And shouldn't we stop at this gospel reality and be so moved considering this fact? when Jesus came from the glories of heaven into this world of sin and evil and corruption and perversion, he never complained or questioned God's ways. When leaving the riches and loveliness of heaven, he never murmured when there was no room for him in the inn, and he was given a feeding trough for animals as his first cradle and crib. Jesus never murmured and questioned being raised in the little thought of backwoods village of Nazareth. He never murmured or complained as the oldest of at least 7 children in the home and being given many chores, no doubt. He never murmured either when working in his stepfather's carpenter shop for years. Jesus never grumbled before God and others or questioned God as Father when his own half-siblings on earth repeatedly taunted him and did not respect him nor believe in him as promised Messiah. Oh, think of this all. Jesus never muttered under his breath when despised and rejected by his own people, though giving himself tirelessly in clear gospel teaching and ministry with many powerful miracles of healing. He never became upset and rebellious when giving himself kindly to so many in their needs, and in return was being dealt with so unkindly and unthankfully most often. Did Jesus murmur when repeatedly misunderstood, when often misrepresented, when terribly slandered, when hatefully mocked, when brutally beaten, when grossly mistreated and spit upon even? Did he murmur and dispute when most unfairly judged, not only by the religious courts, but also the highest legal and political court of the land, under Pontius Pilate? No, he opened not his mouth, we read, in complaint or the slightest grumbling. Indeed, not even when they took hammer and spikes and nailed him, Jesus, to the cross and crucified him on Golgotha. Instead of murmuring and complaining, we read he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You might ask, what about his fourth cry from the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Was that not a bitter complaint from him, a murmuring and disputing of God's ways in his life? No, never must we understand that fourth outcry of Jesus as a word of grumbling from him, but rather a word of grace, really. That fourth word of anguish uttered while hanging on the cursed tree of the cross was not muttering a complaint, but rather proclaiming the gospel message for us to hear. This word of agony from Jesus on the cross not only tells the depth of Jesus' suffering that he endured on sinners' behalf, but it also declares that he so suffered as the just for the unjust. Jesus would drink the cup of God's wrath against sin to the last drop as Savior of sinners, as divine substitute for sinners like us. "I delight to do thy will," is what Jesus said and determined all his life. Yes, even a sin-bearer, including in Gethsemane and at Gabbatha and on Golgotha. Without murmuring and complaining, and with no disputings in resistance and rebellion against God's will, Jesus always wholly and readily and most willingly and lovingly and delightfully gave himself to seek and to save sinners like us. Oh, whatever it would take, however much it would require of him, Jesus gave himself completely to the task. And that in spite of being despised and rejected, disowned, and not appreciated nor believed in as only Savior of sinners, God-sent Messiah, by all too many. Shouldn't this move us to the core of our being and the depths of our soul? Surely, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Wouldn't you agree? In all the challenges and cares of life, and in all the responsibilities and relationships in life, and with all the ups and downs in life, should we not and can we not do all things without murmuring and disputing, in view of so gracious and giving and generous and glorious and gifted Savior as found in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer? What reasons to trust and rejoice in the Savior Christ Jesus, not only that he always, in all his saving work, did everything without murmurings and disputings, but that he also so works by his Spirit and Word with sanctifying grace in his people who so trust and follow him. Working out our own salvation, as Paul exhorts in our text passage, means trusting the Lord, whatever our lot in life, and no matter who and what we face in life, looking to the Lord to help us through any and every challenging situation. Yes, still looking for God to bless and help and to make us a blessing to His praise, regardless what we have to go through and the trials and struggles that may come our way. Imagine being given the grace and strength to do all things without murmurings and disputings. But truly, so God Triune as Father, Savior, and Comforter does lead and guide His people, slowly but surely, and more when we abide in Him, and He and His Word abides in us. Just to give you one example of this, consider the following poem written by a man who was a pastor with three children in the early 1930s. His dear wife was expecting their fourth child. However, at the time of birth, there were complications, and both the mother and that fourth child died. Well, during the funeral week of that mother and child, when they were buried, this grieving father, husband and father, wrote this poem about God as the dear father of his children, never making any mistakes. Listen to what he wrote. My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know he makes no mistakes. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he does know the way. Though the night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He makes no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Now, admittedly, this is an exceptional story, but the Lord so leads and guides his people, truly, in all the ups and downs in life, by his grace and spirit. Many other examples can be given. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament with all that he suffered for years and years, saying to his brothers, who had been so mean to him, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And Joseph comforted them, and spake kindly unto them, we read in Genesis. Think too of Paul, who as apostle suffered so much from so many, who in spite of manifold trials, spoke repeatedly of the manifold grace of God in Christ Jesus, and how he learned, in whatsoever state he was, therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, was his testimony, as told to us in Philippians 4. Recently I spoke with someone who lost his wife after only 3 months' sickness, and that when she was just 62 years old. And that person said in our conversation about not just his wife's sickness and death, but seeing others as well suffering from sickness and dying too, he said to me, why doesn't God come down and do something about this all the misery and trouble in this world? And I began to say, but he has come down to this earth. You see, that is the Christian gospel message, how Jesus came down to be sin-bearer and savior of sinners and to redeem this world from the curse and bondage and misery and punishment of sin and to bring forgiveness and life eternal even for undeserving sinners like us, for all who repent and believe on him. But the man wasn't listening to me clearly when I was saying this. He was only full of murmurings and disputings before God and his neighbors. How terribly sad if he should so live and die without faith and repentance in Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners who came to this earth to bring salvation. God grant that you don't be someone going through life continually murmuring and complaining about your lot in life and disputing and questioning God's ways and leadings and truths. No, but let us all humble ourselves before God and call upon Christ, the Savior of sinners, and find that peace that passes all understanding, whatever our trials and tribulations in life and death here and now. Will you learn from our text the gospel way of life, not only confessing sin and trusting in Christ Jesus in all our needs for soul and body, but also living in praise to our God? That question brings us to the last point in this message about our text, Philippians 2, verse 14. Namely, that it's meant also, this verse, to stir us up in the life of sanctification and praise to the Lord. Real sanctification lies in the increasing realization of how sinful we are, on the one hand, and on the other hand, on how gracious and great and glorious is our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. But again, also true and growing sanctification happens only as we take to heart our Christian calling and responsibility to be lights in this world of darkness. When you and I take that calling seriously, I ask, won't we care about and be zealous for to do all things without murmurings and disputings? When we as confessing Christians don't take this exhortation seriously, we then at best put a bushel over the gospel light, keeping it from others needlessly, or not letting it shine as we might and should. You don't want to be guilty of that, do you? So when you find yourself murmuring and complaining in regards to others, complaining about this and that in your life, and having unhelpful disputings and questionings in your life, then remember, won't you, how it is sin before God and your neighbor. It so puts a damper on the whole gospel message and witness. Therefore, change your thinking and zip up your mouth when prone to murmurings and disputings. Again and again, think on Jesus, remembering how he lived and died for to save sinners like us without any murmurings and disputings on his part ever. And trusting in him and drawing from him, take seriously the Christian calling, won't you, to let the gospel light shine. God triune in his word is the power source time and again for doing all things without murmurings and disputings, regardless what you may go through or what you may have to experience. For sure, your my Christian testimony and witness is only so bright and strong as we take this gospel exhortation of Philippians 2 verse 14 most seriously day by day in all our responsibilities and in all our relationships at home, at work, at school, in church life, and in our society life. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Yes, no murmurings and disputings now in 2016. Do you hear? How can we live this way, except we ever look to the Lord and always depend on him? Will you do so also in this new year? Oh, may God so bless his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.